Good morning. Over the past few weeks, I've been hearing this phrase over and over again. Maybe you've heard it. It goes, "We are living in unprecedented times." Have you heard that a few times? We are living in unprecedented times. Yes, in a lot of ways, of course, this is true. We are living in unprecedented times. No one in our congregation, for example, was even alive in the 1918 Spanish flu, which means none of us have ever experienced a pandemic like this, a global pandemic requiring massive and prolonged isolation, let alone a living in a time of pandemic where truth is so hard to pin down and where there isn't that sense of trust in public leaders or in each other. And yet with an equally unprecedented amount of capacity to connect across technology, all across the globe, which means that we can be fully aware of just how unprecedented all of this is for all of us. And at the same time, I have started to remember over the past few weeks, that is, I've started to remember a history. It's not my own history, the story of my own life exactly, but more a history, the story of our collective lives. And it is a remembering. Remembering in my bones and in my breath, I started to remember that all of this, it is not entirely new. We, in the grandest sense, have been here before. We have lived and struggled through what Margaret Wheatley has described as enormous upheaval, dislocation, famines, and fears. We have had to counteract aggression, protect our loved ones, face the end of life as we know it. We have lived and survived so many times where life itself seemed to be at risk. In our collective memory, there resides maybe not the tangible clarity, the sense of exactly what to do and what is going to happen that so many of us crave, but still there resides the strength and the wisdom, that is the resilience that we need in this to meet this moment, the resilience that we need to survive and to thrive together. Like many of you, I know I grew up Catholic, so the idea of connecting to spiritual ancestors, it was something that was pretty common in my childhood. It just we called them saints. But as an adult, you know, while the lives and lessons of the women or queer folks, the courageous actions of Unitarians and Universalists, all of these have been inspiring in my adult life and strengthening. For a long time, however, these stories have felt distinctly past tense, you know, like disconnected in any like real way from me and us in the present, here and now. But then over the past few years, well, you know, the past few years, So much has changed. There's been so much grief, I mean, at a global level, a national level, and for many of us at a personal level. The Buddhist nun, Pema Chodron, she talks about this Tibetan term, maybe you've heard it. It's Ye Teng Che. Yi, as in that means totally, completely, and Teng Che means exhausted. So Yi Tang Che means totally, completely exhausted. She says this describes the state of hopelessness. And she says this state is a very important point because it is the beginning of the beginning. She says, without giving up hope, we would never relax enough with where we are or who we are, so that we could make space for who we are to become. In the past few years, I've become pretty familiar with that state of Yi Tang Che. And in the past few weeks, it's like I've been there a lot. And what I have learned about this state actually is how freeing it can be. Right? How things that previously my rational or skeptical brain blocked, these things arrive as gifts, including a new relationship with the ancestors. In the past few years, I've discovered that the people of the past need not remain past tense, but they can be instead like fully present here, connected in the now. It sort of feels like when all the tangible and seen things fail to make sense, then you've got to start to turn to what is unseen. When things fall apart, it's like we have a greater capacity, we can more readily lean into mystery in all of its power and possibility. I was fully in that place of Yi Tang Che in the fall of 2018 when I went on retreat at Ghost Ranch in New Mexico. Some of you have heard me tell this story, but let's hear it again. It's really good for right now. So I was there in Ghost Ranch. I brought with me my grandmother's rosary and the golden cross that sat beside her bed before she died. And when the time came, I put these things on our shared altar. And then we were invited to settle into a meditation where we were to connect with our ancestors. And so I imagine meeting my grandmother there in that meditation. She had been a nurse for returning soldiers in World War II. And that's actually where she met my grandfather. She went on to give birth to 7 children. That was 2 sets of twins in there. She was a mother to 7 children. And all the while, her husband struggled with mental illness. She was still all along the way a powerful leader for her community and for her church. She even started her town's food bank. And so I figured that my grandma knew some things about survival and persistence and resilience. And so I went into the meditation thinking, okay, grandma, tell me, how do I keep going? How do I keep going? And so I settled into the silence. And then instead of my grandmother's voice and another presence came to me. Suddenly, the Reverend Anna Jane Norris, circuit riding minister of the 1880s. She preached up and down the wilderness. It was certainly wilderness of Northern Colorado at the time, trying to start a liberal church. It hit me as her name came to me there, just how much resistance, how much derision she must have faced, how familiar she would have been with that state of Yi Tang Che. And yet somehow she kept going until that church took hold in 1898, what became Unity Church, a Unitarian of Fort Collins, which then went on to change its name to the Foothills Unitarian Church in 1968. And so instead of asking my grandma, I thought, okay, Anna Jane, how do I keep going? And here's what she said. I wrote it down right after the meditation so that I wouldn't forget. She said, everything that you are thinking about, everything that you are thinking about, all the things that you are stuck on, all of the questions that are swirling, none of this is God. God is so much bigger than you know, bigger than what you can even dream or imagine. I would have never imagined you, she said. I could have never imagined this church that you serve today. It was impossible. And yet still somehow I was sure of it. Even when there was nothing, there are dreams at work beyond your own. So keep going. Just keep going. you don't have to do everything. Someone will come next, and what you leave unfinished will be their calling. Just keep going. I returned to this encouragement and her words, and that the felt sense of her presence so many times since then. And I felt her resilience like it is my own resilience. Over these coming weeks, as we continue to make our way through this unprecedented time, my invitation is for us to all lean into the precedence that we hold within us. As we allow these histories to come alive in us, because together we can remember a resilience rooted not in our individual lives, but in our collective life, in life itself. We can remember that we are not alone in this moment. We are part of a powerful history, unseen by our eyes, perhaps, but still available in our bones and in our blood. In our DNA. In these days, we can allow every weary moment, every moment of feeling totally exhausted, to be that place where we can open ourselves up even more to the power of this mystery. God, perhaps, or life, all that is so much bigger than our worries, even bigger than any of our dreams, life that is far beyond what we can see. May it be so. And amen.